ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग डिस्कशन ऑफ वन ऑफ द नेम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु इन श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम छिन्न संशय। कैन पुट दिस ऑन द साइड, which means he who cuts the doubts of his devotees. Lord Krishna speaks several times in Bhagavad Gita about faith and doubts. I have quoted in the course of this series of talks from Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita concerning this. And now I'm going to recite another verse spoken by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And I'll also give the translation by Srila Prabhupada and the commentary or purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So here's the verse. This is chapter 4, text 40 of Bhagavad Gita. Agyascha ashadadhanascha sangshayatma vinashyati nayam lokosti naparo nasukam sangshayatmanaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Very strong statement. Srila Prabhupada's purport. He explains this verse as follows. Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures, and some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith, and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one to become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the disciplic succession and thereby attain success. Oh, there are a lot of important teachings there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shadha Vanjan Hoi Bhakti Adhikari Uttam Madhyam Kanishta Shadha Anusari. One who has faith is eligible to practice bhakti. And one is classified in one's level of devotion as topmost, medium level, or beginner, according to one's level of faith. In other words, one who is full faith is on the topmost level. One who has beginning faith is on the entrance level. And then there's the in-between level. Now here in this verse, which we just read from Bhagavad Gita, it refers to people with no faith whatsoever. Ashraddha. Agyascha ashadadhanascha. Ashadha means people of no faith. Ashadadhana, people of no faith. And then Krishna says, sangshayatma, people who's just full of faith, full of doubt. And what does he say about them? Vinashyati. They're destroyed. So, if one has no faith whatsoever, He can't even begin to take up devotional life. Sanshayatna. It is an attitude of doubting. Someone may doubt. He may have some faith in God, but have doubts about some things. I was just going through one conversation of Srila Prabhupada when he was in Tehran, in Iran, in 1976. And he had long talks when he was there with many visitors. There was one Iranian woman who said that, well, I can accept that there must be a God to create the world, but it's difficult to accept all the stories. She's from an Islamic background, and every religion has its stories, which might seem fantastic. For instance, in Islam, it is a basic tenet of faith that Allah spoke to Muhammad. That might not seem so fantastic. Although if you think about God speaking to a man, well, maybe it does. And then, well, then there's Muhammad eventually went to heaven on a flying horse. So that might seem easier to believe that God created the world, but not so easy to believe that Muhammad went to heaven on a flying horse, because, well, we never saw any flying horses. And there are so many things in the biblical tradition. We have Moses leading the people of Israel through the sea, the sea open to make a path. It's a well-known story. Then the Israelites went through, and the Egyptians who were chasing them also went through the path in the sea, and the sea closed up and drowned all the Egyptians. So there are many such stories. And of course, in our Vedic tradition, as far as fantastic stories, that means fantastic to the, according to the imagination of little people on this little planet who've got or who think they have more intelligence than they actually have. Things like the Supreme Lord taking the form of a half man, half lion, and appearing from a pillar, might seem to be not very realistic. But one has to have basic faith. Faith, what is that faith? That, well, okay, God, there should be a God, because otherwise, to say that the universe comes into being without any design or control or plan is pretty stupid. I'm just holding this diary up because if I was to say that this came into being without any design or plan or purpose, just there was nothing and it came into being, it doesn't make any sense at all. And the universe is, of course, unlimitedly more complex than this diary. So that there's a creator and a designer and a controller, one should have faith in this. But then one has to go, but I have faith in all. And you may say, well, if you believe that the Vedic descriptions, or maybe you won't believe the biblical descriptions or the descriptions in the Islamic tradition. Well, actually, that's a major argument of atheists. They say, well, you believe in God. Which God? What about you believe in the God of the Muslims, or the God of the Christians, or the God of the Shias, or the Sunnis, or what about the Romans? They believed in these gods, and the Egyptians believed in a certain set of gods, and the Carthaginians believed in a certain set of gods, and the Greeks believed in a different set of gods. And which God are you talking about? In the Vedic tradition, we say, well, it's the same one God manifesting to different people in different times and places and circumstances in different ways. We have no problem with that. Or rather, we can give a rather sophisticated explanation that most of the gods who are worshipped, have been worshipped in the history of the world, are the demigods, not the supreme god. Exactly. And it is arguable that in Christianity they worship Brahma, the creator. They put so much emphasis on him being the creator. Anyway, one should have some basic faith that there is God. But it may be difficult to understand everything, and then doubt comes. For instance, another common cause of doubt, that people have a basic faith in God and then they say, oh, there's so much suffering in the world. This is another major argument of the atheists. But if God is good and he's all powerful, then why does he allow suffering? But again, that's very clearly and reasonably answered in the teachings of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Sukha Dukhanam Bhuktritve Hetu Ruchyate, that the suffering and happiness in this world are of the individual living beings are created by themselves. Man is the architect of his own destiny. We ourselves create our distress by causing distress to others. There may be so many causes of doubt because we live in the world of ignorance. And Maya, the power of illusion, we have come under the power of illusion because we want to forget Krishna. We have an idea that this world is meant for our enjoyment. So one has to hear from devotees to understand, deeply understand that I am meant to serve God. This world is not meant to be a place it's not an arena for my enjoyment. So in this way, by hearing and hearing, one becomes freed of ignorance and doubt. Here in this verse from Bhagavad Gita, which I opened up reading, agyas cha shadadhanascha. The people who are agya means not knowing, ignorant, foolish. And ashadadhana, those who are without faith. They may have an attitude of doubting, determined to doubt. If someone wants to deny the existence of God or the existence of anything, they can doubt. Whatever anyone says, you can always question it. This is a diary. No, I don't believe it. Oh, look, you see, it's a diary. See, it's got all the notes there. Well, I don't believe it. Philosophically, you could go on disbelieving it. Say, well, I don't believe it's just an illusion, or you're doing some magic and making it appear, next minute you'll make it disappear. There's a very good argument for that, and it's called kicking people in the face with boots. Do you doubt it? Do you doubt the pain that you're feeling? Of course, we don't do it literally, but the fact is that this world is a place. You can go on with this kind of arguing, extreme skepticism, solipsism, the idea that I can only believe what is within my own experience. Extreme doubt. I don't even believe you exist. I'm not even sure if I exist or anything exists. But however much you may make various sophisticated arguments in this regard, pain is a fact. Apart from anything else, pain is a fact. We can philosophically pretend it's not there, but individually we're suffering and the whole world is full of suffering. So it's just to waste your time talking some fancy-sounding philosophy, but the world is full of suffering. That is undeniable, and someone may deny it, and then again kick it. But we don't have to kick them in the face, because birth, death, old age, disease, and in so many ways there's suffering in this world. So, ignorance and foolishness, agya, non-knowledge, ignorance, and non-faith. Ignorance and foolishness are not necessarily the same thing. Just because someone doesn't know something doesn't mean he's not into, or it doesn't mean he's foolish. Just like, for instance, I don't know the name of the town in which you were born. Maybe it was Roslov. Oh, well, I guessed it right, but I didn't know. Roslov in Poland. Where were you born? In Bombay? Okay, well, I can guess. Where was Mukunda Nrsingha born? Tamil Nadu. That's in general. Which town? City? Village? Vilipuram. District? In a village? Talakuruchi. I heard the name of it somehow or other. Maybe because you were born. See, I didn't know. If I meet a person and I don't know where they were born, there are so many things I don't know, but it doesn't mean I'm foolish just because I don't know. And because I don't know the proofs of E equals MC squared. Translate that into Tamil. Because I don't know the proofs of it, well, maybe I'm foolish by the level of Albert Einstein. But according to the general level of intelligence of the people in the world, doesn't mean I'm foolish. What is the capital, which town is the capital of Tanzania? Tanzania. Anyone know? Probably never heard of Tanzania. Is it? If you don't know, it doesn't mean you're foolish. If you lived in the country and you didn't know, that would be something else. I'm not even sure if I pronounce it properly. Tanzania, Tanzania. But if you don't know, there are millions of things. Is it Dar es Salaam, or that's the capital of Uganda? Uganda, maybe.
Uganda is Kampala.
Uganda is Kampala, so Tanzania is Dar es Salaam.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So if you don't know, it doesn't mean that you're foolish. Because there are millions of things that could be known. And there's only one person who knows everything, and his name is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So not to know is not necessarily foolish, because... Well, in that sense, you could say everyone is foolish, because there's a very limited number of things that we can know. It's just the nature of our abilities and our intelligence. But real foolishness is not to know things that we should know. Just like, for instance, if you live in a country and you don't know, if you're an adult and you don't know the name of the capital of the country, that would generally be taken to be foolish, right? And I presume that everyone in this room, with the exception of the little girls sitting there, who you on the camera can't see, you all know what is the capital of this country we live in, which is called India. The little girls know, one of them is asleep, sleeping peacefully, you don't have to wake her up. Okay. Sule, capital of India. Oh, she's really embarrassed. She wasn't expecting to be. Thought she wasn't in the schoolroom. No, don't let her sleep. No, anyway. It is 3, 2, 1, New Delhi! Did you know that? Oh, all right, let her be. Don't want to embarrass her too much. Okay. But it might be that some people are living in the jungle. There are still people like that in India who they never went to school. They don't need to go to school. They just live by hunters and gatherers. And they don't need to know anything like that at all. They don't. I remember in Bangladesh, and we used to bring boys from the village to the city of Dhaka, and they'd never seen or even heard or imagined what an electric light is, and or what a tap is. So you show them, they turn on the water, and then they just walk away and leave the water coming out. And, so we only got a little water every day, but they had no idea you're supposed to turn the tap off. Just some magic, a river begins when you go like this. And then they just walk away, and then you come back, and then half the tank's empty, and that's it for them. So they didn't know. They didn't know. But if you live in the city and you don't know, then you'll be considered a fool. Again, I go in the village and people talk to me about this is what kind of rice they've put, aus, iri. There are three kinds. Iri means International Rice Research Institute. Iri rice, they probably didn't know it meant international. Aus is, and I can't remember, there are three kinds. They just presumed I knew everything about growing rice because I was an adult, and every adult that they knew everything. All the basic things. I didn't know anything about growing rice. In merry old England, where I come from, no one grows rice. So to not know things. Let's get back to Krishna consciousness here. To not know things that we should know is foolishness. And to not know who we are and who is God and what is our relationship, that is foolishness. Of course. A young child, you can't expect, but we should inquire. We should think, what am I doing in this world? Not to inquire is foolishness. And that's why we can boldly say that modern education makes people foolish, because it teaches them all kinds of things, which some of them might be useful for living and working in this world. But the really important thing that we would need to know, who are we, why are we here, what happens after death, they don't teach it at all. And by not teaching it, they make it as if it's not important, but it is the most important thing. So the whole society is running on foolishness. It's a very foolish society in which they promote that just build more factories and produce more goods and earn more money. What is it all about? They don't even address that question. It's just presumed that we die and it's all over. Very, very foolish civilization. Means they are committed to being in ignorance. They don't, if you say, what is the meaning of life? Don't know. Don't need to know. Just, anyway, what's for lunch today? Just on the level of animals who are interested in eating and sleeping and having sex and fighting with each other. And they really don't have anything more to do than that. So to not seek knowledge, to be foolish is understandable. But to not seek knowledge, that is extremely foolish. So, to have doubts is not necessarily a bad thing, but we should try to get them resolved. Everyone has some kind of faith. Shraddha mayo yang purusha. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so many important teachings in Bhagavad Gita, that everyone has some kind of faith. Some people's faith is that there is no God. And it's just a faith. They can't say conclusively. And you may say, well, someone says, well, there is God, and you can't say conclusively either. But then we have to come to reason and intelligence. Same thing, okay, let's use a watch this time. It doesn't come into being without any design or purpose or intention. So there should be someone behind the whole universe. to understand actually who is God, we have to take knowledge from Shastra. Shastra means, roughly translated as scripture, it means Srila Prabhupada. Very good example Srila Prabhupada gave. When you buy some complicated device, an instruction manual comes with it. Nowadays the instruction manual is online. Just like if you, what kind of things are there? Complex camera. Okay. So there's an instruction manual comes with it, which tells you what it's for, how to use it, and so on. So the scriptures are just like the manufacturer tells you this is what it's for, how to use it, user's guide. So scriptures are God's guide to the universe, how to live in this universe, what's the purpose of the universe, how to make the most of your situation, and gives knowledge of himself. So, general faith in God, just picked up here and there, is something, it's a beginning. But without proper scriptural guidance, you're going to go wrong. You're going to go badly wrong. Just like in Hinduism today, probably the most popular form of the many forms of worship is worship of Sai Baba. Big mistake. Not according to, it's not according to scripture, it's just some popular belief. That's all. People are content, oh, so many people are worshipping, I'll also worship. People don't stop to consider, actually, what is the purpose of life, who is God. Sai Baba, there's absolutely no information whatsoever in the scriptures about him prior to his appearing in this world, or even after appearing in this world. It's just not mentioned in scripture anywhere. It doesn't have. If we know what the meaning of the word God is, that we have to take from scriptures. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasya shashriya jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannang bhaga itingana. One who is full with all opulences, powers, potencies, glories in all respects. It clearly isn't Sai Baba. So we should know from scripture, and that also will have to be explained by devotees, people who know God. Otherwise that will be misinterpreted. So I read those verses last time. Metiena Krishne Parata, people who never have faith in God. Nate Vidur Swarzagatinghi Vishnam, they don't know that the goal is Vishnu. So these are two verses, one after another, in Prahlad's teachings. And the next verse after that is, well, what can be done for such people who are determinedly non-Krishna conscious, who have taken the goal of life to be something external to what is their real self-interest? And that is given in the next verse. Naishang matis tavada rukramang grims prishatyana to pagamaya data mahiya shampada rajo bhishekam iskinchananam na rinita yavat. That people cannot become purified from their misconceptions and doubts. They cannot get over that. The lack of knowledge of God leads to our entanglement in this material world and our performing all kinds of activities which take us further and further away from Him. The solution is that one has to, it's stated here actually, one has to literally take a bath in the dust of the feet of people who are fully, without any personal motivation, fully dedicated in the service of Krishna, who's called here Urukram, one who performs tremendous activities. So this is the solution, or as Srila Prabhupada puts it very simply in his purport to Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 text 3, Ashada Dhana Purusha. Srila Prabhupada writes, faith is created by association with devotees. And there are many, many such statements within Shastra. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi. Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Even a moment's association with devotees can lead to all perfection according to all the scriptures, says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this function of destroying the doubts, Chinna Sanshaya, Krishna himself does that by coming to this world and speaking Bhagavad Gita, and he delegates that to his devotees also. Therefore, Krishna himself recommends Tato du sangam utsrijja satsu sajjeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktabihi. Krishna says that a person who sees the situation of this world, wherever you go, even if you go up to the material heavenly worlds, there is only suffering. Therefore, one who is actually intelligent gives up bad association, seeks out the association of saintly people, and hears from them. And what is the nature of their speaking? That they cut all the mental attachments. Cut them out, all the misconceptions. From Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is, I'll read again from his purport to chapter 4, text 42. Before I do that, I'm going to speak about Srila Prabhupada himself. We're talking about those who cut the doubts. Well, the great example of that in the modern age is Srila Prabhupada, who again and again and again he would speak with devotees and non-devotees. He spent a lot of time speaking to his own disciples about the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness and pushing them to bring up various possible doubts and then cutting them. And his own staunch faith, despite the innumerable kinds of atheistic arguments that could be given, what to speak of all the distractions of Kali Yuga, an atmosphere of complete confusion, that in itself gave people faith and determination. His own disciples, just being in the association of Srila Prabhupada, even today, just hearing him, reading his books, it creates faith. There's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada had no doubt, right? We ourselves might have doubts, but one thing we cannot doubt is that Srila Prabhupada had no doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let's say that loudly and clearly. And but he would also say, it's not just me. You see, all the great acharyas, and if you see what great personalities, I'm here in Tamil Nadu, and it's the influence of Sri Ramanuja, and I'm naturally we think of Sri Ramanuja being in this land, and what an amazing personality. He himself was so full of love of God, and he himself wrote so many books, and he inspired so many people. This Vishnu Sahasranam, the commentary, is given by one of his great devotees, and that, but that, so even up to the present day, writing so many books, all the inspiration of Sri Ramanuja, these great, great personalities. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, it's not just me saying this. All the great personalities, Ramanuja, Madhva, even Shankara, And even there may be so many great devotees, we're not even aware of their names or that they even existed. The greatest personalities, their names are recorded in history. But there may be so many who are fully absorbed in love of Krishna. So Krishna, he sends his devotees like Srila Prabhupada, who had absolutely no doubt, not just in the existence of God in a vague way, but specifically that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada had firm faith in that everything in Shastra is correct, and therefore he would insist that the moon must be further away than the sun. And that doesn't sound very intelligent. I go to school and you see on the TV, and the moon's just a hop, skip, and a jump away, and you can go there on the week, you know, maybe in a couple of generations, just like we were discussing, people may go from Ireland to Poland just for a weekend to go and drink beer somewhere else. Instead of drinking beer in Dublin, they'll get on a Ryanair flight and go and drink beer in Wroclaw for the weekend, and then come back the next week and like this. So maybe in a couple of generations you can go for a weekend to the moon. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away, right? And the Prabhupada said, no, you can't go. You can't go. What's the evidence? Shastra says further away than the sun. So firm faith in Shastra, all kinds of strange things that we may think are very strange. Srila Prabhupada believed. Why? Because Krishna says through Shastra. Now I'll get to that purport from Bhagavad Gita chapter 442. One who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they were imparted millions of years ago to the sun god. That's another thing, you see, millions of years ago. Well, millions of years ago, they're not human beings. How do you know? They were taught in school. And Srila Prabhupada says, millions of years ago, Krishna spoke to the Bhagavad Gita. And what is the evidence? If you dig up any bones, we won't find any bones of the sun god from millions of years ago. The archaeologists, main profession, digging up bones, just like dogs. And what's the evidence? Imang vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan. I spoke this to Vivasvan, the sun god, many millions of years. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And actually it makes sense, because the whole idea that, well, God created this world just on a whim, and then he finishes it up and it's all over, doesn't make much sense. The Vedic description of the material world, it makes more sense than the idea that in the Abrahamic religions, they just brought it into being and finishes it up, and in the meantime invented some hell in which he chucks a whole bunch of people into. Very, very strange. Very strange idea. So, imparted millions of years ago to the sun god, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself, and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. So there's another possible reason for doubts, that people, they take the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and deviate others, or even within the Krishna consciousness movement, people take the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the movement of Srila Prabhupada and teach something else or do something else because they have some own personal motive. And we should seek out persons who live and teach exactly according to, you've been working on that, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Sadhu, Guru, Shastra. Sadhu, Guru, Shastra, Vakya. Chitete Korea Aika Ana Korehomane Ashan Narotanda says. We should take the instructions of the saintly people, specifically our those who are specifically our gurus, who all speak on the basis of Shastra, make them one with our heart and not desire anything else. So why do we accept Vedic knowledge? Srila Prabhupada writes in his Bhagavad Gita, as it is, introduction, Vedic knowledge is complete because it is above all doubts and mistakes. And Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. So Bhagavad Gita, we may have doubts, but the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. So that knowledge, Veda means knowledge, it carries us beyond doubt. But to be free from doubt, we have to start with some faith. If we are Sanshayatma, if we're determined to doubt, then we can't get anywhere. We have to have some starting faith. Krishna tells Arjuna, Maya Sakta Manav Partha, Yogam Yunjam Madashaya, Asangshayam Samagram Mang, Yata Nyasisi Tachrinu. Just listen, Krishna tells Arjuna, just listen. Without doubting, throw out this doubting attitude. Krishna says, before this, Arjuna's doubting Krishna this way, that way, this, that. So just stop doubting and just listen to what I'm saying, Krishna tells Arjuna. Just have faith in me, what I'm saying. Take shelter in me. Give up this attitude of doubting and you can be free from all doubts. So we should consider what Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. It's not just some opinion. Anyone can say anything they like. But Krishna's words, they have lasting authority. You see how we're just saying New Delhi is the capital of India. There wasn't any India as such until the British made a British India. There was no New Delhi. Of course, prior to that, there was city Hastinapur, but New Delhi. Afterwards, there came Delhi. There were several cities. All these things come and go. How many empires have come and gone? How many big buildings have come and gone? How many big important people have come and gone? It's very interesting. I'm reading a book recommended by one of my godbrothers about writing, how to make one's English writing clear. And it's very interesting because it was written, more than 70 years ago. And it's all these extracts from newspapers and writings. And you can see all the things that people were thinking were very important at the time. And it seems like something out of a novel. It has no meaning. The names have gone, the issues have gone, and it's just a short time away. All the things they were debating in the parliament. Also, I remember reading one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings in which he was saying, "Well, we're not very interested in what's going on in the campaign in Afghanistan." At the time, it must have been a big thing in the news. The British campaign in Afghanistan. Nowadays, who even knows? Hardly a few historians may know about some British campaign in Afghanistan in the 19th century. There must have been so many kings in this area and they were fighting amongst each other. Now, who knows? If you go back 100 years, it would have been so many important people in this area, among themselves, all forgotten. But Bhagavad Gita's authority is still accepted. So many civilizations come and gone, people come. Bhagavad Gita is still a guiding light. So it has lasting authority. Krishna spoke these words. We should not doubt, we may have doubts, but we shouldn't doubt Krishna's intentions. Just like if someone says something to us, we may not trust them. Someone may say something. Often people may say something to us as if it's for our benefit, but actually they're trying to trick us because they want to get their own benefit. And all of advertising works on that basis, isn't it? They advertise, buy Coca-Cola! Coca-Cola! Oh yeah, if you buy Coca-Cola, you'll be happy. And but the real reason they're telling you this is because they want to get your money out of your pocket and into their pocket. They don't desire your benefit. If they desired, if they actually desired your benefit, they might give something actually nutritious, like milk. But Coca-Cola is just not only not nutritious, but it's anti-nutritious, if there is such a word. Well, if there isn't, there is now.
Poison.
Nonce word. It's a poison, yeah. So many people. We've probably all had the experience of being cheated at some point. When people, they take con men. Con means confidence trickster. They say something, we believe them, they seem very honest, and then we find out they're actually trying to get us to do something so that they can take advantage. But we don't have, there's no need to doubt Krishna. His intentions are all good. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted by all great personalities. As I've said, Ramanuja is one of the great personalities who accepts Krishna as Supreme. So all the great spiritually advanced people, they accept Krishna as Supreme and his teachings as Supreme. So we should also take them very seriously. There's no reason for us to doubt. If we are at all reasonable, we should give highest priority to Krishna's words. So many people, now you can go on the internet and see Sam Harris, one of the leading proponents of atheism. And there are so many. There were the Four Horsemen, right? One of them is now attained eternal peace. He's dead. So there are people talking, well, in my opinion, blah, 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 going on and on there. But what Krishna says has eternal authority, and we should take it very seriously. You should not doubt it. And if we do that, then we overcome confusion. We're so confused because we're listening to so many different people who really don't know anything, who are like frogs in a well. That example is given. A frog in the well doesn't know anything except his well. And as far as he's concerned, although frogs in general are not very philosophical beings, I said in general, you never know. Well, it's not very likely that any frog is philosophical. But even if there was a frog who was endowed with the intelligence of Sam Harris, for instance, still his experience is not more than the well. And so he can't imagine anything beyond it. That if you could somehow get up outside this well, there's a whole big world out there. But that's the Vedic example given. And in the Greek philosophical tradition, there's the example of Plato's cave. People who are tied up in a cave and they can't, and all they can see is the reflections of light on the wall. And that's all they know. That's all the reality that they know. Of course, there is a big world out there. But if someone comes and tells them about the big world out there, they won't believe it because they're limited to their experience. So, we should hear from Krishna to become free from doubts. Chinna Sangsha. He breaks all doubts. And he tells Arjuna, and through Arjuna as tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanasmara yudhyacha mayarpita mano buddhir mame vaishyasya sanshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me, Krishna says, in the form of Krishna, and at the same time continue your prescribed duty of fighting, with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will attain me without doubt. Without doubt. Sangshayatma. We had the word sangshayama, someone who is full of doubt. And Krishna says, asangshayaha, without doubt, you will attain me if you think of me. And go on, Arjuna was a fighter, so he had to fight. But whatever we're doing, we can go on with that in the world. Nama shrei kori jatane tumi takaha apana kaje. But you know, Thakur says, take full shelter of the holy name and you go on with your work, whatever you have to do in this world. But Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surya Yoho. Living in this world, we should look up to the lotus feet of Vishnu in the spiritual world. This Chinna Sangshayaha, one who cuts doubts, this term also comes in the Bhagavad Gita. But he, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, who is Chinna Sangshaya, one who cuts doubts, he refers to the person in this material world, people like you and me, and he says, Medhavi Chinna Sangshaya, one who is intelligent, cuts doubts. So we also have our work to do. Krishna can cut our doubts, but the doubts are in our heart. Hritstam, what is that? Hritstam gyanasin atmana. The doubts, the ignorance which is in our heart, that is to be cut by the sword of knowledge. This is, again, Bhagavad Gita. So we have to apply our intelligence also. We have to be do our work to cut the doubts. What does that mean? We have to be humble, sincere, apply our intelligence. Krishna can clear all our doubts if that's what we want. If we want to doubt, if we don't want to accept Krishna, then we'll never clear our doubts. If we're sangshayatma, if we insist that, well, I don't believe this, I don't believe that, if we're not prepared to accept that there is God and He can help us, then we'll never get to know Him. We may, if we're determined to doubt. So, reading again from Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says, asamoha, this is a term given in Bhagavad Gita, which means freedom from doubt and delusion. Asamoha can be achieved when one is not hesitant. In other words, when one is ready to accept Krishna's instruction, and when he understands the transcendental philosophy, slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. So cutting all the doubts, it might take some time. Just like there's in an overgrown jungle, to cut it down might take some time. But if you work steadily, cutting, or nowadays they bring a bulldozer, right? If you have a whole boat, you can either bring in a whole bunch of people and take out the, cut it bit by bit, or you can bring a bulldozer and just clear it all out quickly. So slowly but surely becomes free from bewildered. Nothing should be accepted blindly. So becoming free from doubt means not just professing verbally faith, but really understanding, applying one's intelligence to understand everything, Srila Prabhupada writes, should be accepted with care and caution. And another quote from Bhagavad Gita, as it is Srila Prabhupada's purport, if, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. So the whole Bhagavad Gita, the speaking began when Arjuna was in doubt. He wasn't sure what to do. Should I fight or I not? Should I not fight? Krishna, from the very beginning, told Krishna very clearly, you must fight. Arjuna doubted it. Krishna explained to him, and at the end, Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasadan maya chuta stithosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. Gata sandeha, sandeha, sangshaya. These are all words which mean doubt. Shankha is a common word in modern Hindi. So, also derived from Sanskrit. So, gata sandeha. Gata means gone. My doubts have gone. Arjuna says, Nashtoma, my illusion is destroyed. I have regained my memory, my proper understanding. Twat prasadan maya achuta, by your mercy upon me, achuta. He addresses Krishna as achuta. Achuta means one who doesn't fall down into the position of doubt and ignorance as we do. Now I'm fixed in my understanding, my doubts have gone, and I will do what you say. I will follow your order. So we're free from doubt, we should be prepared to follow Krishna's order. To come to that situation, we may not do so in one session as Arjuna did with Krishna. We may have to hear again and again. Something like regular visits to the psychologist, something like that. Krishna, hearing about him, Srinvatang Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyantas Tohya Bhadrani, Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. The dirty things in the heart, beginning with doubts, the abhadra, the inauspicious things, they become cleaned out by Krishna himself. Krishna himself cleans the heart of a person who regularly hears about him. He is Punya Shravana Kirtana. That name will come later in Vishnu Sahasranam. It's also a name in Vishnu Sahasranam. So, Krishna himself cleans the dirty things in the heart. Therefore, he's known as Chinna Sangsha. This verse, Srinvatang Swakata Krishna, that is near the beginning of a series of verses talking about the effects of regularly hearing about Krishna, in which Chidyante Sarva Sangshayaha. The effect of regularly hearing about Krishna is that all the doubts become cut. So this is Krishna who cuts all doubts. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any doubts? Yeah. Supposed to cut them. This stick. You can't see because it's in a bag, but it has something like an axe. It looks a little bit like an axe. So the idea is that's supposed to be for cutting all doubts and wrong ideas. Yeah.
One question is, you mentioned how these days in India people mostly worship Sai Baba.
People mostly worship Sai Baba. Well, not exactly. I would say that it's probably the biggest, Shirdi, or the main place of the Shirdi Sai Baba, is the most popular, the most visited, just for the sake of our holy place in India. Let's put it like that. It's not that most people worship him, although actually if you're in practically every Hindu home, whatever demigods or gods, whatever they have, they'll always have a Sai Baba. So maybe they don't all worship him as their foremost object of worship. Just like we were in that Karur, we were in one town, and there was a North Indian family we stayed over night, and they had a nice picture of Krishna and everything. And I was just looking, I know there must be Sai Baba somewhere there, and I saw just a little, yeah, Chinna Sai, little something was there. It's almost everywhere. I still didn't see and I doubt if we'll ever see in the Sri Rangam, in Sri Ranganatha Swami temple. At least as long as Murali Bhatta is there, he won't enter. But you never know. Years ago, I was somewhere in the Gulf, that means Dubai, or it wasn't Dubai, Abu Dhabi or somewhere. And they invited me, and I was told, oh, we can go to this program, it's very good, Sri Vaishnava. So I went, and then I saw in their home, nice picture of Rangana. And I saw Sai Baba also, and I gave a whole talk about this is, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, you're from Sri Vaishnava family, you're worshipping Ranganath. Why are you keeping this Sai Baba picture? And then he was not happy. But what should I do? I have to tell, this is nonsense. Yeah, what were you going to say?
The question is, how is it that in the land of knowledge...
How is it that in the land of knowledge there is such...
A few days ago, Prabhupada was saying how some Chinese man made a comment that go to India.
If you want no religion, go to India. The Chinese man, he was a Buddhist. The Chinese were coming here looking for Buddhism, actually, because this is the homeland of Buddhism. How? Well, that's a big history. I've discussed it to some extent, mostly with quotes from Srila Prabhupada in that book, The Message to the Youth of India. A major factor is the Jato Mat Toto Pat, but that's another whole big discussion, the idea that all paths are the same. But that's another whole big discussion, how India came to this horrible situation where they don't have knowledge or faith in Shastra. You don't know anything about it. So we should distribute these books, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We had the talk inside, but the rain didn't come. Maybe it'll come. Often when it's like this, it comes in the night. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, what's the capital of India? What is it? She doesn't even know what a capital is. If you ask a little child, what's the capital? Well, they don't even know what a capital is. No, she feels threatened by the very question. Doesn't matter. You learn how to make idlis, that's all right. That's all you need to know. Chant Hare Krishna and make idlis.
Hare Krishna, Allah Jama Vahitin, idlis chahiye karte hain.
Not only idlis, also.
Idli matte mein hai.
Who's doing? You doing yourself all that cooking, Mukunda? Almost daily you're cooking for me, no?
So
you can learn from the father and mother how to cook rice. Nowadays you have all these girls going to college, but they don't even know how to boil a pot of rice. It's ridiculous.
You've
got a PhD and they can talk, bah, 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 bah. They can't even cook. They don't even know how to cook a pot of rice.
Number